Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. This is Jim Masters, your host. Welcome to Close Up Radio. Incredible episode we have as we continue our exclusive series with empowerment strategist Bonnie Wirth. Bonnie is highly regarded as an empowerment strategist, emotional resilience expert, and mentor. She encourages us to not only engage in self-care and loving who we are, but to extend this love right into our very own homes, at work, and among our circle of friends, because you can literally make the world a better place by being kind. Work is centered on healing mind, body, and soul. She says, an inspiration to everyone around us. And by coping, like alcohol or drugs or addictive behaviors, mistreating ourselves or even striking out in violence or discriminating against others, not really allowing for the positive change that you want to see in the world. How can that happen when we are harming ourselves and others in the most detrimental and traumatic ways? Well, healing the world starts within each of us, according to Bonnie. If you missed the first episode, check it out. It's archived on Close Up Radio. And we're going to continue our series now talking about some of the systemic trauma that everybody's been experiencing and how to work through it. And that, of course, is a result of the traumatic world events that we've seen. Just turn on the news every day, no matter where you live around the world. There's always something crazy that seems to top the day before. Just when you thought you saw it all one day, tomorrow seems to top it. We're living in interesting times. And empathy and kindness doesn't seem to really be at the forefront, but there's an undercurrent of people, such as Bonnie, who really would like to see that return. That also adds to healing, which is something we all can use. We're going to talk about this in much hope you're having a good day.
Hi, Jim. I absolutely am. It's so great to be sharing a conversation with you again today.
You as well. Always have a terrific time. We always learn something and always share with our incredible audience. You know, in the last 3 years, as I mentioned, we've been going through systemic trauma from all these incredible world events. From your perspective, Bonnie, how does faith in God or a higher spirit really help us get through this when things seem so bad and out of control and just seem to be getting worse?
You know, I would just say what we've been through these last few years has been very overwhelming. And I believe as a society that we're not very good at addressing the systemic trauma. These events have been so big, and on the scale, the problems we've witnessed and have played out in the world have also been very overwhelming. I think we have a tendency to create band-aid approaches through anything. I think even, in the middle, almost like in the aftermath of trauma, and we tend to focus more on the healing as a society than what is more about some of the prevention. And, prevention can be found through our faith. And I'm going to speak, more about that here in just a moment. But I think what also I think we sometimes live very individualistic in our society. We don't often consider the impact of what is needed for, all of us as a collective, or the impact that these events have had on all of us as a collective. But we're all interconnected. And because we're interconnected, these systemic conditions both create the need for us to be more compassionate, more loving, more gracious with each other so that we're not continuing to re-traumatize ourselves either. Where when we look at what's happened, we've been dealing with a lot of fear-based experiences. This fear, you know, is natural in response to these situations, but it has led us to be in more of distress. There's been more disruption in our day-to-day lives, and it can really feel very extreme in terms of how do we recover? How do we move forward after the experiences that we've shared, both collectively and, of course, individually as well? And that really comes from, fear is an emotional reaction. It is the place of saying where everything is bigger than who we are, whereas faith brings us into a place of responding to what is happening in the world. Faith is the very thing that helps us to cope with the stressors, especially these things that feel outside of our control. Fear places us into the side of the problem, where faith puts us on the side of the solution. And this is where we can affirm, you know, the purpose for our life, or what can instill hope for us in moving forward as a collective, as a society, in terms of our healing and recovery from everything. But more importantly, faith is what connects us to something transcendent. It is sacred, and it really fulfills our need as humans for meaning, the meaning of life, the meaning of these events, and of course, answering that question of what it means for us as a society in moving forward. Faith is the very thing that is going to give us those answers and the foundation necessary for us to carry forward.
Very important, absolutely. What can we learn from specifically what we went through with COVID and that whole experience, which still exists? It's not gone. It's still there in its various shapes and forms. But just how, you know, we've gone through it all. We've really, it's lifted the veil on a lot of different things. It's we've seen the best in people. We've seen the worst in people. It's been quite a psychological experiment as much as it has been a health-related issue.
Yeah, you know, I really agree. I think that, like you said, it brought out the best of us and the worst of us at the same time. I think what surprised me as well, and maybe it's a little naive on my part of things too, was how quickly we fell into fearing each other and how materialistic we are as a society. It was, you know, moving into more of the hoarding of supplies, the greed, almost the loss of consideration for each other at a very big expense, the lack of compassion for people who were suffering or even people who were very afraid through all of this as well. It really brought up some of the ugliness that we have within, as human beings, how uncaring, how fear-based we are as a society, as well as how quickly we fell into feeling so powerless and so hopeless. On the same side of it, I think, you know, what we learn from this is also the fact that despite our fears, that we are very strong, we are very resilient, and I think more than anything, that rise of compassion that took place, there was also a common good that showed up instead of this individualistic, this me-oriented state of mind. We really came into the we of the matter, how this was affecting all of us, what we needed to do as a society. And that really helped to ignite more passion in terms of being advocates or looking at long-term positive change for all of us. There were a lot of people came forward, and I think it showed us, you know, the need for all of us to speak and to share our opinions for the sake of the collective, especially, you know, maybe in times when we felt otherwise stifled, felt like we didn't have a voice, our opinion didn't matter, whereas we really see that through this, that all of us had a responsibility within advocating and helping to make this, you know, the positive steps forward. I think, as I want to go back to the rise of compassion, I think this is where for a lot of people, in feeling very hopeless or helpless, there was great consideration for our neighbor, maybe in a way that we have never considered our neighbor before. So there definitely were two sides of the coin here. I think that we saw the uprise, some of the ugliness of things that played out, but we also saw the power of love take fold as well, and the state of compassion and consideration for each other's. Greater appreciation for life, greater appreciation for what we have. I mean, the quickest way to make someone appreciate what they have is to take it away from them, whether that be in terms of our jobs, each other even. I mean, it's deep and horrible as what some of the losses were that we went through, it also positioned us in a place of deeper appreciation and for the sacredness of life and for the sacredness of each other.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. And so important. You know, the world is struggling with political upheaval, division, of course, mm-hmm. especially here in the United States, also spilling over to Canada. How do we listen to each other with an open mind without arguing, getting angry towards one another for not supporting, the beliefs of the other person, getting in line exactly with what the other person wants? You know, when we have differences of opinions, we're all...
Yeah, and whether this plays out on the political stage, I think when we look at what's happened, the consequences for people as well as our planet have been very, have been massive. And as a society, of course, I think the only way to approach any of this is with more conscious character, with more compassion, to really honor each other for the differences of opinions. And as I said earlier, when we approach anything from fear, we're in a reaction state and we're siding with the problem. Whereas when we're more conscious and we're open to hearing what other people have to say, and we're coming in with that foundation of faith, now we're positioned in a way that we can be a part of the solution. And that's what's really vital here, is that when we look to approach each other, even in differences, that we can act from the heart, not from the unconscious impulses, not as a way to continue to injure or hurt each other, but more with that conscious character and compassion, which is so vital for all of our emotional and mental health. As a society or even as individuals, I think sometimes, we feel as if what we believe is the truth. And yet when we can understand there are many truths and we can honor and respect each other and do that, bring those conversations to the table in that way, I believe we can come to solutions instead of adding more problems on, in each other's lives or even re-traumatizing each other as well. I think, when we look at unintentionally as we work through this change or these conversations, those become more traumatizing in the existing systems, and history only continues to repeat itself, whereas we can approach this and just understand that we all believe a little bit differently, but with honor, respect, with open minds, and of course with that, with the compassion, we're going to be able to find more solutions to a lot of the issues that are affecting all of us.
What about war? Some of us feel helpless that we can't help, or we're traumatized by the thoughts of war going on and others suffering.
It's so hard to know that war exists and that people's freedoms and liberation are being so affected right now. The thoughts of loss and what people are going through and living through, very real fear from day to day in ways that we in some way have been very protected here in North America. And it is concerning. And we look at it from a global stage and we put ourselves into the position just with our minds of what it must be like to go through what they're dealing with, and it can really affect our psyche. And even just knowing that war exists at that level, that it's disrupting for us as well. We live in a very traumatized world, and that trauma, even that's how, around the war, is giving rise to more trauma. We're all feeling it collectively, even though we may not be directly involved with what is happening in the world. Here is where, you know, what do we do when we feel so helpless to what's going on in the world, you know, the people that are hurting, that are lost, that are living in fear? The only thing we can do is come back to our present, to where we are, to be more compassionate towards the people in our homes, the people around here in our own community, compassion both towards ourselves and towards each other. Again, that is an emotional response, which is essential for our day-to-day well-being, but it does indeed affect the betterment of the community and the world at whole. The other piece of it, I'm a firm believer that as we do, we make choices every single day in our life to feel at peace, to have peace of mind, to be able to be in kindness, centered in compassion. As we demonstrate that peacefulness within our own lives and to the people around us, that energy impacts the world as a whole, that as we become more peaceful as individuals, we will have more peace in the world as a result.
You know, there have been many natural disasters, and they seem to be getting bigger and more frequent. How could people cope or find ways to make our world more aware of safety from the natural disaster?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, first here again, when we understand natural disaster as scary and as overwhelming and helpless that we feel the wrath of Mother Earth, this is a very natural way that the Earth replenishes or restores balance. So for us, it does really be, first we need to become very cognizant of how it is that we are living, you know, what are we taking for granted. We need to, our actions or how they're causing harm to the land, to the oceans, and really honoring the Earth's rhythm is very essential. We need to allow and really care for this Earth. I think we've become very neglectful in our actions, in the materialism of our world, that we forget the foundation that supports us, and that foundation being the Earth. So we look to, one, to know and trust that even through, you know, where there is destruction in our world, that is also a creative force. It is a creative cycle that is playing out in order to restore balance. And as we, you know, how do we stay safe in that? This really comes down to our individual needs in staying balanced in who we are and understanding the power of our thoughts, the need for our own self-awareness and the impact that we have through our thoughts, through our actions, not only in society, but the world as a whole. And when, you know, that we just begin to make conscious choices and begin to live differently without wasting the resources that we've been blessed with, without taking it for granted, whether that be our shelter, whether it be the food, and of course, each other. So it really invites us to become more conscious in our day-to-day living and honoring the world as a whole, not only as individuals in our societies, but also the land, to the earth, to the trees, to the oceans, the water, to understand that all of those resources are something that we need to really appreciate before it depreciates.
We're also experiencing problems in the economy. And when you get into financial stressors, that can really add to a lot of issues, relationships, work, so much. How can we live more abundantly through healing itself?
You know, here, wow, this is a really important question. You know, there are so many messages of scarcity all around us. And, you know, we have to buy everything that's on sale. We believe that there's not enough in the world. And we really are victims of a scarcity consciousness. And that affects everything, our perception of the world, our actions, even how we treat each other. That, you know, we saw a lot of that play out, you know, through COVID as well, as I go back to that. But scarcity underpins our economy. It really creates a battle inside of us where we feel that there are limited resources in the world to meet our needs. And the only antidote for that, or the only way to begin to shift or to heal, is to move into more of an abundance consciousness, in knowing that the world around us, there is so much abundance and so much available within the universe. Abundance or lack thereof is always connected to feelings inside of us. So when we feel like there's not enough, we're not good enough, whether our financial needs are not going to be met, that we need to work hard every day, that all of that is being reflected back to us in our bank balances, and of course our mindset that we have in terms of hope, when we are experiencing problems or challenges within our livelihoods. Our goal here is to create a mindset which allows us to have a more abundant thought processes. That's where our creative power is, our creative power in meeting our financial needs. And so when we stop, really kind of moving and living through that automatic, unconscious way dictated by fear of not enough in the world, and when we stop blaming society or blaming our past, we begin to shift our mindset from the lack and to the plenty. And that really is where the abundance, begins to show up. And abundance isn't just about monetary value. Abundance is about everything in our lives, an abundance of health, an abundance of friends, an abundance of happiness, an abundance of well-being. We look to, whatever we focus on within the universe, what we focus on increases. And so when we're focusing on lack, our lack mentality begins to increase the lack, and that is in direct opposition of what is actually truth. We live in an abundant universe, and we need to train ourselves to shift our own mindset and how we speak about our lives and what's possible for us from a place of the abundant, the place of plenty. And through that, we will begin to experience an uprise within the economy. The economy is affected by our mindset. The economy is influenced by every single person's mindset. That's why there's such fluctuations on a daily basis, because it's impacted on people's mindsets of whether they are in a place of plenty or in a place of lack. And so we see the fluctuations in the economy as a direct representation of who we are as a society within the mindset. And when we begin to change the mindset, we can all prosper.
Very important. How about crime being so rampant too, Bonnie? How do we combat our fear while also taking steps to, help sort of lessen crime within our own communities? We don't want to just stay in our houses.
Right.
Involved in society. So what can we do?
Here too, I think, one, we also want to make sure that we're being responsible. We can't be naive when it comes to crime in our communities, the impact that it has, and of course, being very responsible, taking steps in forward of making sure that we're being aware of what's happening around us. That's an important piece of it. But we can't be living in constant fear of something bad happening, because again, we come into a place of attracting that within our lives. When we're focused on something bad happening, chances are something bad is going to happen. We basically create the invitation for it. So one, here again, I always come back to, we have such responsibility as individuals about our mindset, where we're focusing our intentions, how we're showing up in the world, because like attracts like. On the other side, when we look at it more of a society condition, we come back to healing
healing us as individuals. We go back to reflect on the systemic traumas, the things that we're living. The crime or the increase of crime is a result of the lack consciousness. It is the fear-based consciousness. It's the not enough paradigms. And so when we begin to understand that we as individuals have a direct effect on crime based on what we are expressing energetically out into the universe. Here as well, we need leaders who are conscious, who are considerate, who are looking to take the compassionate approach to helping the individuals who are committing the crime, recognizing they're hurting. Hurt people hurt people. They are acting out as a result of the systemic traumas that we have been living through as a society. It is the fear-based reaction, and where we need conscious leaders to begin to understand that in order to heal our society, to lessen crime, we need to start to heal the broken spirits that exist inside of the individuals themselves. I truly believe that coming into, you know, into the schools and into some of the supportive systems, when we begin to listen to each other with honoring, respecting, and knowing that everyone matters in our society, that there is plenty, there is abundance available for all, that that really is going to help lessen the impact of the, not the impact of the crime, but lessen crime mortality. It will be when everyone is relaxed and everything is flowing, there's no need to take and there's no need to fight for our place in the world. When we're honored, we're respected, we're treated with compassion, it changes the whole paradigm.
God or a higher being really helping us feel inspired even when these times are tough.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to what I said earlier. Faith is the foundation. Faith is what raises us into a place of hope. It's the very thing that positions us where we can understand that there is purpose and meaning for what it is that we're going through. And when we pray or we believe in a higher consciousness or a higher power, we begin to give up the fight or give up the control, and we begin to basically ask for the intervention, and we become a part of the solution. That faith moving through us and that higher power moving through us can do more for a society than we as individuals can do alone. And again, we look at faith as what brings optimism. Faith is what brings a positive mindset. You know, as we speak more positively, more optimistic, more faith-filled over our lives, that imprints in the universe, and it begins to shift and change the very realities that we live in. That faith is the antidote. It raises us up. It raises us up energetically, and it raises up our minds, and it's a lot easier to be optimistic and positive when we have a stronger faith, when we know that we are being cared for, we are being loved, we are being supported, and we feel less alone and less abandoned within the conditions of our lives. As empaths, you know, such an important piece of this. It always comes down to, for me, of taking energetic responsibility. That, you know, it's a word you've heard me say a lot here in our conversation. It keeps coming back to responsibility. And here is where where I become very conscientious of the energy that I'm putting out in the world. We can sometimes, as empaths, fall into complaining or feeling victimized by the energy, the impact that things are having on us, the state of our own wellness, and whether we're exhausted or we're, feeling like we just need to withdraw or need alone time, all of that is important. But we need to equally be responsible for what energy that we're putting out into the world. And so here, this becomes, you know, we need to stay centered through our meditation, through our prayerfulness practices. This is about blessing the world around us. We're, instead of falling into fear of judging other people, being conscientious and pivoting to blessing, because to bless and we will be blessed. And so when we focus on the blessings in our life, when we praise and give gratitude for the good, it shifts our perspective of the world. It shifts our energy. And we begin to contribute differently to the world around us when we're coming forward from a place of blessing for all. For me, you know, that spiritual paradigm of bless and you shall be blessed, this is a practice that I, every single day, as the empath who can be so overwhelmed and so taken out by the energy or what I observe happening in the world around me, I come into my heart, I come into center, and I begin to bless. I bless my life, I bless my body, I bless my community, I bless the day, I bless the people around me. It begins to shift everything. When we change the energetic conversation, it becomes so much easier to navigate our day-to-day life.
To connect with Bonnie Werth, go to the website, bonnieworth.ca. That's BONNIEWIRTH.ca. This episode and all of them are archived, so you can hear them in full as well. Bonnie, always a pleasure speaking with you. Another extraordinary, eye-opening, and inspiring conversation. Thanks for sharing with us. And looking forward to the continuation of our series when you're back with us on the 1st at 3 p.m. Eastern. That'll be a pleasure, and that's December 1st. Have a terrific day, Bonnie, and hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you.
Wonderful, Jim. Thank you so very much. It's always a thrill.
You have a terrific day. Bonnie Werth, empowerment strategist, joining us here, as well as emotional resilience expert and mentor. Go to web, bonnieworth.com, or .ca, that is, .ca, which is for Canada, www.bonnieworth.ca, BONNIEWIRTH, and then .ca. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. Minutes with another fascinating for you on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.